It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Joining us now on the line is the good pastor, Muzunga Munga. Good afternoon to you, Pastor. Welcome back, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us again.
Good afternoon, and how are you today?
I am very well. Thank you very much, Pastor. Our question for today, how do Christians reconcile the concept of an all-knowing God, the omniscient God, with the presence of moral ambiguity in the world?
You know, I was looking at that question, and it's quite interesting. So after some research, I noted that there's need to explain what we mean that God is all-knowing. And I believe when we say God is all-knowing, we literally mean God knows everything there is to know.
Right.
His knowledge includes all that is, that was, it includes all that will be, and it includes all that is possible. In regards to human beings, I would say God has perfect knowledge of every detail of a person's life, past, as well as all that is yet to come. With that affirmation of the all-knowing God, it's also important for me to state that the scriptures are an inspired word of God, and that they have all the knowledge that is necessary for our salvation. With that understanding, they do affirm that the standard of one's character, the type of experience, is to be the word of God. By the inference, I believe that the word of God is a live word in terms of guiding us on how we are to live our lives. Now, coming to the question, the definition of moral ambiguity. I have gotten it to mean is the lack of certainty about whether something is right and wrong. And I can't be Christian we are not certain whether it's wrong unless you give me a context of the question.
Well, Mfunis, there are some biblical ambiguities that perhaps you may decipher for us. And that's what the world is struck with right now. For example, the very instruction in the Ten Commandments that says, thou shalt not kill, right? And yet the very same Bible, God says, you can go and kill certain individuals under certain circumstances. I do understand in some Bible, it doesn't say kill, it says murder, which perhaps may be a segue into another conversation. And then the Bible speaks of the incorrect of eating food offered to idols, and yet Paul gives the issue of your conscience being the ultimate arbiter, that perhaps if your conscience allows you, then you may, if your conscience does not, you may not, creating a sense of ambiguity there. And then finally, we're talking about the observance of the Sabbath, which appears to be a strict, unswavering thing. It's nothing wrong whichever day. It's a good day as far as Paul is concerned. To one, the day is important. To another, it's not okay. Let everyone be according to their own consciences. It creates a measure of timidity and ambiguity there. Not quite clear. Uncertain as to what exactly is the absolute truth. I'm not quite sure if that helps you, Mfundis.
It does help me, but what I see from the examples you have given is probably the problem is not the scripture, but one's approach toward the interpretation of the scripture. There's no ambiguity there. What is there is our lack of understanding what's being communicated. Example, I've given an example of clean foods and clean foods. It's clear no one can argue about that. In the Old Testament, God has specified what food should be eaten and what not to be eaten. And there's a text in the book of Mark where Jesus seems to have communicated something like, all foods are clean. That which makes a man unclean is that comes out. And others have used that verse to support an idea that we can eat anything. But what Jesus is communicating there is uncleanness that comes by not washing hands. The Pharisees are saying, if you don't wash your hands, you have to wash your arm, your entire arm, when you want to eat. And the disciples of Jesus did not do that. And they said, the food is unclean. Jesus says, no. So not about this thing. So he's not discussing about diet. He's discussing about the laws the Pharisees had put as to what makes someone unclean. And Jesus makes it clear. It's not these laws are put, but rather evil. Okay. And when you talk about Paul talks about one to another this day to another. Maybe before I comment on that, he talks about diet. He's not talking about unclean foods and clean foods. He's talking about foods that were offered to idols.
Right.
In the context here is, should Christians eat clean foods that are offered to idols? And he says, if you're conscious, so you go to the market, don't ask, did you offer this cow to your gods? Paul says, after all, you know that those gods are just man-made. You know there's only one God. Just eat. But if for the sake of a conscience, don't eat. So what I'm trying to say from the examples I've given is that the problem is not the ambiguity of the word, but rather our approach in terms of how we interpret the scriptures.
Yeah, well, there are more direct ones. For example, in the book of 1 Corinthians, there he is directly ambiguous, if I can use that contradictory phrase, that paradox there. 1 Corinthians 8 seems to be some form of ambiguity there, where he says, well, you can do it just for the sake of the weaker brethren, which means in the absence of the weaker brethren, the very same thing I am not supposed to do, I can do. Again, the conduct there appears to be morally ambiguous.
Not necessarily. What Paul is discussing there, as I indicated earlier, is food that is offered to idols. That food is clean food. It's animals. Let's talk of cattle, goat. What used to happen is that the Corinthian people used to offer their animals to idols before taking them to the marketplace to be sold. So then the question that is raised, because in 1 Corinthians, the entire book of Corinthians, Paul is addressing the questions from the believers. That is why chapter 8 begins by, now concerning things offered to idols.
Right.
So he's dealing about things that are offered to idols. And the question the Christians are asking is, should we continue, since we have not become Christians, can we eat an animal that is offered to an idol?
Right.
And Paul says, okay, yeah, there are those who think it is wrong. But, I mean, you understand that an idol is nothing. He says an idol is nothing.
Right.
So you are strong in faith. Just eat. It's a clean animal.
Mm.
But you who feel, you know, you sin against God when you do that. Here's an example, man. We have shops here in Zambia. We have shops. We have people who are very well, but probably they use dubious means to have their wealth. They use dubious means to have their wealth. They have shops. They supply a lot of things. Now, should we, as Christians, go to the shops of these people and ask first, where did you get your money before you buy anything? How do you think about that?
Okay. So I want us to simply move to Romans chapter 14, perhaps, Pastor. You could speak to that, which is not about food offered to idols, but just that, the ambiguity that we're asking you to clarify there.
What about in Romans chapter 8?
Romans chapter 14, Pastor, not chapter 8. Romans chapter 14. Yes, sir.
In Romans chapter 14, we are talking about... He begins by those who are weak in faith and those who are strong in faith. The question may be, what makes one strong in faith? What makes one weak in faith? I mean, what is that? I mean, how do you define someone who is weak in faith?
I don't know, Pastor, but again, there's an issue there of that moral ambiguity, whether eating vegetables makes you stronger in faith or weaker. And that's what we're trying to establish now. How does Christianity deal with these apparently ambiguous texts?
The context of Romans chapter 14 is about salvation by works.
Let me read it so that anyone hears what we're talking about, Pastor. Then you can give your explanation. 14 verse 1, except him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. I'm reading from Romans chapter 14. And then it continues, verse 3, the man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To this or to his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we believe, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. It continues going forth. So that it just points to the issue of ambiguity there, Pastor. That seems to, everything goes with Paul there, or the writer of the book of Romans, that you want to eat, go ahead. God will judge you. If you don't want to eat, go ahead. Each to his own. That's the moral ambiguity that we're asking you to clarify this afternoon, Pastor.
Thank you so much. Now, if you follow the text that you have read, it's right. About he's addressed the issue of days. Certain days, another person takes, and let me begin with the issue of diet. The first thing it addresses is the issue of diet. The second thing is about holy days. Okay. Now, others have used this text, number one, to dispute about unclean foods. And right. They are saying it's no longer unclean food. All foods are clean. Secondly, they have used it to dispute that the Sabbath is no longer necessary to be kept. You can keep any day as long as you keep to the Lord. But what Paul there is addressing is not about unclean foods. It's not about the Sabbath. What he's addressing is legalism. What happened in the Roman church is that there are people who failed by being vegetarians, by being vegetarians or by eating certain foods, they were being made holy. That's what we call legalism. Okay, so Paul is talking about legalism there. And there are other issues of days there. He's not talking about the Sabbath. He's talking about the festivals. The Jews were still insisting that the new covenants were supposed to keep the days as holy, those festival days. And Paul is saying, no, you don't do that. Understand that the context there is about you judging another person based on what they are eating and based on the holy days. But then the question is, who sets the holy days and who sets the diet? Is it for you and I today to define what is good for us? Is it for you and I to define which day we are to worship God? It is not for me and for you. That is why Paul makes it clear that we are all going to be judged. We are going to stand before the judgment of God. And with that understanding, therefore, how does God judge where there's no law?
Okay.
All right. There's no law, because chapter 14, the scroll says, so then each of us shall give an account of himself to God.
Right.
Therefore, not judge another, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause of offense in your
flesh. Okay. No, I hear you, Pastor.
Yeah, so the whole issue here is, let's understand, Paul is dealing about legalism, the issue of legalism, trying to end salvation by works. Okay. He makes it clear in chapter 14. In chapter 14, actually, he makes it clear. Chapter 14, verse 17, he says, for the kingdom of God is not food and drink,
right,
but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you very much, Pastor. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your insights, your explanation. Looking forward to your final answer tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Infinis. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. God bless you and take care of you.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.